Welcome to Fatherhood Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Kelly, and I'm here to remind you, however you're listening and wherever you're listening, that as dads, we're just like moms. Except we're dads. Ha ha! Start by introducing yourself.
My name is Rudolph, aka Rudy Joseph, father of two beautiful girls, soon to be 12 on November and 6 in November too.
They're both November.
Much, yeah, they're both November.
Oh,
both
I didn't know that.
Five days apart.
November what?
5th and 10th.
Oh, get out.
Oldest is the 5th, and then the youngest is the 10th.
Okay. Was that intentional? The Novembers?
Let me tell it, yes. You know, that it was very intentional on my part. Yeah, because that was the anniversary was in February, yeah. So calculated. It was very intentional.
Okay, okay.
I tell them that story all the time. They were like, why did you? I was like, we wanted to keep it in the same month, or we thought we might get in October, especially if it was a boy.
Gotcha. Okay. So what's the full story?
The full story of that. I mean, cause my oldest at the time was 6 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were like, man, it's about that time. You know, like she was okay with one. And, I was like, you know, this is a hit or miss for me. Like, if I get a girl, I'm good. If I get a boy, I'm still good. I'm maybe even better in a sense because my name gets to be able to be carried on.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was like, well, you know, this is it. I was like, I'm good. Like, I'm not the one that's going to keep on trying till
you get that boy.
What I want. I'm okay with whatever God gives me.
Yeah.
But I don't want my daughter to be lonely in this world. You know, if something, God forbid, happened to us. Mm-hmm. And then that was that. But, you know, honestly, I really think she didn't think that I was capable. She was like, yeah, he talks a good one, but I don't think so. And then when we found out that she was pregnant, she handed me the test results. She said, here you go. You happy now? I was like, ecstatic.
Yeah.
You know, good. And when we found out it was a girl, I think she was more emotional because she wanted the boy for me.
Okay.
I was like, I can't trip about what God gives me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'll take it. And ever since, the little person has always been like, how would I say it? I always say she's been my awakening, you know? Mm. Like I see things differently through her eyes.
With the youngest one. Yeah. Really? Okay. Yes. Usually that happens with the oldest one. So what's the difference between how you were seeing things with your firstborn versus mm-hmm. the little one? What are their names first and foremost?
Oldest is Jaleesa mm-hmm. Amira Joseph. Mm-hmm. And youngest is Kai Nyla Joseph.
Okay.
I only had to deal with the middle names, first names.
Okay. Okay.
So, with the oldest one, nothing really changed for me, like in the sense of I'm a father, you know, and let me break that down.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is she was pregnant when she went on leave. Of course, we didn't plan for our first. So, you know, she went on leave. She went to Nashville and I stayed in Chattanooga to work.
Okay.
You know, and I was like, something didn't feel right about that, you know, in the sense, like, I was like, man, you know, she should be here for me to take care of her. But, you know, she went to mom's. And I understood that.
Okay.
It's your first pregnancy. You didn't understand anything. So, you know, call, check up on her, make sure she's doing the vitamin, eating and everything. But it still didn't register to me that, you know, you're about to have a child.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So the day that she went to, it was, I want to say it was a Wednesday or Thursday. She went to a hockey game with her mom. Mm-hmm. And after the game, her water broke. And I get the call, hey, water broke. She's possibly going into labor. You know, I was like, oh, I tell my supervisor because I was at work.
Yeah.
And, you know, I gunned it on 75, like doing 110, you know. And I get there just in time because she still was at that stage. She was not, you know, ready to deliver yet.
What was the distance between Nashville and Chattanooga?
It was about, because of time change, it's an hour, they're an hour behind in Nashville.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was about an hour and 25 minute ride, but I did it in
like 45,
50 minutes. You know, so I don't know, the angels were looking over me because I was like, man, and it was a stick shift, so I was pushing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I get to the hospital and then I get a little nervous, but nothing really is significant to me just yet,
mm-hmm.
of like, you're about to be a father. And so, you know, I want to say it was about between 11 and 1 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Jaleesa came into the world, you know, and she came out crying. And, you know, mom saw her and, yeah, she's emotional. I'm emotional too. And then that's when I held her. And I was like, whoa. Now, the gravity of that moment, you know, that I kind of just wanted to drop. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is real now.
Yeah.
What's about to happen now? You know, Dad, I'm 27 years old. I'm like, if I had it my way, I probably, if God wanted me to have a child, probably would have been in my 40s because I was like, I was not ready for no child or anything like that. So
40s, you say?
We're 40s. Yeah.
Wow.
That was always my story. Like, I was like, marriage, all that stuff. I didn't see it for me.
Okay.
You know, I didn't, because I was such a non-realistic person of what I wanted in a mate.
Okay.
My sisters always told me, they were like, good luck, man. You're not going to get married. I said, I'm okay with that. You know? And so holding Jaleesa, and I still have that shirt that I had on where I let them put her footprints and everything on the shirt. I still
nice.
Have that shirt.
Nice.
And from time to time, I'll go back and look at it. I was like, okay, you know, now it's time, you know, like, okay. They said the best thing to do is that skin to skin.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I did that with Jaleesa, and then leaving the hospital, you know, not knowing how to put the car seat in and learning all of that
mm-hmm.
stuff. And you know, it got very interesting because Jaleesa, we didn't know how to be parents.
Mm-hmm.
So certain things, we took a lot of risk because mm-hmm. we're like, we didn't plan for this. So what I mean by that is, you know, she started daycare, and we're only able to afford one car seat. So if I don't catch Courtney when she's coming into work so I could pull the seat, then, you know, FBI better not pull this up. But, you know, I'm like, yo, I got to get her. I'm already at the school. I'm not going to come back to the work. You know? So
hold on. So there were moments, I'm going to say it for you so that you don't say it. So there were moments when you went to pick up your firstborn from daycare, yep. and she got home safely, but she was not secured in her car seat.
Yeah, she was not. She was not. And you know, I think back about it, and me and her would laugh about this. And she was just like, man, Dad, you just took all the chance. I said, baby, I didn't know. I said, but look, you're safe, you know. Look at you. No harm, you know. She's like, but mommy always tell me that. There was a couple of times she dropped me in my head. I was like, yeah, it was questionable with some of your outbursts. We're wondering, oh, shoot, is that a result of the dropping on that? So I learned how to be a father with Jaleesa.
Okay.
Whereas Kai, when she came into the world,
mm-hmm.
first of all, mom and I we had a tumultuous relationship at that point
mm-hmm.
of that pregnancy. That was one of her rough, I mean, not one of her, it was the roughest pregnancy because Jaleesa was smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Courtney, you know, had the weight was imbalanced. You know, they said, hey, you got to be careful. You don't want. She was the heaviest with Kai, you mm-hmm. know, and Kai never was settled, you know, in the tummy, always actively moving. And so I remember on Courtney with Kai, she felt, she was like, look, she's coming. I was like, but did your water break? She was like, I'm telling you, she's coming.
Mm.
I was like, all right, I'll grab the bag. But I said, man, you know, we could go to the hospital and they'll send us back, you know. And so we went through all the process. They sent us back. About 2 weeks later, same thing. She's coming out. I know for a fact she's coming. I was like, okay. We go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, I don't know what to tell you, but she's not coming yet. You know, she's not. You're not dilated. Water didn't break. And she's crying because she's like, I know my body. Like, how y'all telling me this? And then I was like, let's just go to the house and, you know, we'll smooth it out. We're only like 15 minutes away from the hospital anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we're riding in the wheelchair, taking her down, and her water breaks. I was like, well, you see, when you know, you know.
Hey, she knew. You know,
so, right, she knew. She was like, you see, this lady told me. I said, this ain't the time to worry about all of that. Let's get you to the room. Get her to the room with Jaleesa. She did, what do they call it, Epidural?
Mm-hmm.
With Kai, she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then this time, no, her mom wasn't there. Her dad wasn't there. It was just her and I. My mom was not even there, you mm-hmm. know. And we're in Miami. Kai was born in Miami. And I was like, okay, I'm starting to recollect everything that happened with Jaleesa.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready. So Kai comes out, and I see the doctor face.
Hmm.
And I'm like,
something ain't right.
Immediately look at Courtney, right? And then she was like, why she not crying? And I was like, oh, don't worry. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And then the doctor does this signal under the, like, she's right here. And then under the bed, she does this.
Oh, the umbilical cord.
Yeah. Wrapped around Kai's neck.
Ooh.
Yeah. So typically, I would cut the umbilical cord.
Yeah, yeah.
But I couldn't because that was a situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So they cut it. She's still not crying, not breathing. I was like, that was the longest 1 minute of my life.
Ooh, you know, bro.
And I get emotional thinking about it now because I was like, you bring this child in.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm going to lose her right now.
Oh, you know? God.
And then I have to look at Courtney and I'm like, whoa. We got to pull ourselves together. I had to be strong for her.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, I heard the loudest cry in my life. And I was like, I was never so happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wouldn't even let her go to Courtney. I just grabbed that. Yeah. They're like, no, she needs to be with the mom. I was like,
oh, not giving my baby.
Right. I would have left with her, you know, but she spent time with Courtney and everything like that. But with Kai, early on, I learned very fast that she was very attached to her dad, you know, and she, and it was almost because I was like, Jaleesa did the same thing when she was that age. And it's like when I knew it was different was when my wife and I divorced or was separated and how she just could not get it right because her dad is not there.
Hmm.
And Jaleesa was, she adjust and adapt with no problem.
Yeah.
You know, in her head, it was like, okay, mom and dad had it again. But we made sure that at least when things happened around Jaleesa, that she was still, she was visible to both her parents, still keeping a routine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Kai, when when the mom and I would get into bouts and arguments, Kai would pull me and yearn for my attention. I didn't think nothing of it the first couple of times she did it, but then when the arguments got real bad, like borderline abusive from the mother, I realized that because I was like, I'm getting heated, and this girl kind of sees it, and then she clings. She said, Dada, come to me, play with me. Let's go in my room or pick me up. I want to give you a hug.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, how smart is this girl? Like, she could read me like that and be able to, you know? So that continued to develop and made me realize how important a father is, the connection, you know, because Jaleesa had to grow up, I want to say, faster than Kai had to, you know, and it's not till most recently having conversations with my daughter, because that's something I enjoy doing, taking them to school and picking them up.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the most out of the oldest in the morning, you know, before her day start. We have all these type of conversations over Starbucks. And she was just like, you know, I'm really proud of you, you know.
Wow.
I'm glad that you're making strides. You always, you know, willing to pick us up and take care of us. You're a good dad, you know. And that means a lot, because at the end of the day, I'm like, man, am I doing enough?
Yeah, yeah.
Have I done enough over the years?
Yeah.
You know, because it's weird, because my father, my parenting father style really comes from my mom and not my dad, you know. I didn't have an example of what a father should be. Like, I think about it through the years, and it's not till most recently I came to peace with it, where, you know, I wrote a letter to my dad, and I was just like, for the longest, I always thought that he didn't teach me how to be a father. But the last 2 years of his life, he downloaded so much information, and I didn't compute it until Kai came.
I see.
So that's why I said it's different with the two, because with Jaleesa, she accepted me and she was like, yeah, you're my dad.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and I could do no wrong. Mm-hmm. Kai, it's almost like she'll read me.
Yeah, it almost sounds like you're saying she has a way of holding your feet to the fire somewhat.
Fire. Accountable.
Yeah, she holds you accountable in some way.
Yeah.
Wow.
I would say that. I would say that, because I don't know how many times I could say that Kai probably saved my life and she didn't even know it. You know, because there's certain things that came to light with my former employer, because that company, I had several phones, you know, one for directly to deal with the CEO and out of the country issues. And then one for domestic, and then my personal phone. So, you know, and I was with that company for about, and that was the other thing. I was with that company majority of Jaleesa life, you know, so Jaleesa was always, she was accustomed to having her dad, but then when I was promoted and everything like that, I started to travel. And she was like, okay, this is what dad I do. Whereas Kai, she was born right in the middle of 2015, right in the middle of the heart of me being promoted and all this, become a national director, all of these things. So she never really had her dad like Jaleesa did. But the little times that, and I say this to bring you to this point. And so there was a phone that I refurbished. Like, I got a new one and I just left the old one in the house. And Kai needs music to go to sleep. And so we leave that phone on the Wi-Fi, and they'll play the night tunes and everything like that. And then one day I was doing a double, working lift and my regular job. And Kai, I guess, playing around in the house and stuff like that, messing with the phone, and she leased the phone. And there was so much in the phone that my ex-wife found. And I couldn't even be mad when she brought this to my attention, because I was like, wait, this is so far long ago, one. And two, I was like, it's not really that much detail in there, but what it allowed to unpack was more so because there was different things that I was dealing with that situation brought to light, you know, because, okay, I'm not tripping about what you found on this, but okay, but you're doing this. You're drinking this heavy. You're smoking cigarettes. You're doing all of these things. Those kind of things came out to light, not only to my wife at the time, but to my mom too. Mm. So every time I look into Kai's eyes, you know, from that point, I always say, yo, you know, you saved my life. Mm. Like, because if I kept going the path that I was going, high blood pressure, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. cancer,
all you name it. Yeah.
Because of the level of stress that I was enduring at work. And that was not the first time she done that. You know, it was just like I stated earlier about the whole situation with she's able to read.
Yeah.
Okay. My dad needs, I need to pull my dad from this situation. Let me hug on my dad. Let me love on my dad.
Yeah.
And she'll tell you today. She was like, my dad is my only boyfriend, you know.
Music to your ears, bro. Music to your ears.
Yeah. Jaleesa said, man, I don't have no boyfriend, but my dad ain't my boyfriend. And I was like, yeah, pretend.
So let me ask you this. We've known each other, first and foremost, we've known each other for, oh gosh, what, a whole lifetime now?
I was about to say at least 3 decades. Yeah.
Let's see. No, it hasn't been 3 decades yet.
It hasn't been?
No, we're not 40 yet. I met you.
2 years away from that.
we met when I was 11 or 12.
I was gonna say 11.
Yeah, right. 11 or 12. So we're not, bro, we're not 3 decades
what
in yet.
What year was that?
Oh, that was 1996 or 7.
Seven, I was thinking. So 7.
Yeah, we're not.
Decades are 10 years or 20 years?
Decades are 10 years, bro. We're not.
Right.
Yeah, we're not there yet. We've known each other for 2 decades and a half.
1.5? 2, okay, that's
yeah,
what I was thinking.
Yeah, 2.5.
40 is close for me.
40. I'm staring at 40 in the face, but I'm still a couple yeah. blocks away.
Right. Once I hit it, then you got no choice.
Then I got no choice. Like, right. Wait. So what? You hit 40 when? In 2 years?
In 2 years.
Yeah. In 2 years. Okay. So in 2 years, starting next year or this year?
Yeah.
Like right now, you're what, 38?
No, I'll be 38 next month.
You'll be 38 next month. Okay, so so next year I'll be 37. So we're not that far away. Dang, bro, right, we're not that far away.
That's what I'm telling you, man. That's what I'm like, I'm looking at 40, man. That's what I tell you. I'm like, yeah, we're not that far.
Yo, we're not that far away. All right, anyway. Mm-hmm. But we've known each other for a really long time. And right. when we met was toward the latter part of your dad's life.
Yeah.
You know, I've said this to you guys before, you and your sisters, your mom. I mean, you guys are, there are people that transcend friendship into a stratosphere that's even more revered than some family members. And that's where I hold you right. guys at. Right. So I got to know your dad during the latter part of his life. I don't know how long after we met, your dad had left to live and then he passed away.
Right. It had to have been like, yeah, because he died in 2001.
He died in 2001? Mm-hmm. Okay, so by the time he passed, I had already moved from Florida.
Right.
Okay, so let's see. If I moved to Florida in 96 or 97, so 4 years or so.
Right.
Okay. So I know how your parents were together their whole lives.
Yeah.
So you said earlier that you felt like you didn't have an example of what a father should be like from your dad. I want you to unpack that a little bit for me. Because I was all under the impression that, you know, he was always there and that you guys had this at least some type of close relationship, but I might not have the story right, so unpack that for me.
Right. Yeah. Let me unpack that, because the thing is, you know, I'm a, what you call it, Tetju, you know, hardhead.
You're a hardheaded dude.
And I'm hardheaded. And the thing is, my dad had his bats with with kidney failure and all other elements of health that was not really strong. So mm-hmm. I just looked at my dad as a sickly person. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. I was like, what advice can you give me about life? And you're not even able to maintain health and you're, you know, the way you lash out at my mom if the food is not right, or, you know, you're very stubborn in the sense that, okay, you know, you need our assistance. And when we're giving it to you, you're mm-hmm. like, you know, move faster, or, you know, you're not doing this right, you know. And I always knew my dad. That's how I knew my dad, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so my mom couldn't teach me to be a man, you know. Mm-hmm. So she did what she had to do.
Sure.
As a mother.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I saw, like, okay, she's working three jobs. And then she still come home, take care of you, and then cook what you want. And if you don't like it, she had to do it over again. And she did it gracefully, humbly, like she didn't, you know, fret about it. Mm-hmm. So that's how I looked at my dad, man. Now, after graduating, I got my dad death wrong. It was 2004, because I just thought about it, because it was 2 years after I graduated that he passed.
Okay, 2004.
So he got to see me, Jalene, but not Becky. And that's the thing. You know, when I was taking care of him, he had to humble himself in a bit, I think. And
so you did end up taking care of him.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't go off to school. Mm. I was like, Jalene and Becky had to worry about, you know, senior year, doing all that stuff and everything like that.
So just to clarify for our listeners, Jalene is your older sister.
Older sister.
And then you're in the middle, and then Becky's your younger sister.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so, you know, there was a lot of different things that I didn't understand why, you know, didn't go off to college and do none of that stuff. But mm-hmm. I felt like my priority was more so to help my dad out. Mm-hmm. You know, so while I was helping him out, you know, the everyday taking him to treatment, waking up to make his breakfast. Mm-hmm. And that's when he started to really talk to me. It was like, you know, after I'm gone, you know, you need to leave Miami. I was like, why would you tell me that? And then he was like, there's not really much here for you. You know, I said, yeah, but I need to be here to help out mom. And he's like, you would be helping her if you're not here and you're just making something of yourself. Hmm. I'm like, okay. All right, we're not gonna worry about that, you know. The biggest lesson I got from him was when it was time to choose, like, you know, he's seen a couple of girlfriends that I've had and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And he would tell me, nope, that one ain't gonna make the cut. Nope, this one not gonna make the cut. And I'm like, why are you saying that? He was like, oh, a girl that doesn't respect your like your parents in the terms like, okay, you know, they come to see me at the house and everything like that. And yeah, my dad was not in the living room right that instant, but mm-hmm. when he made himself known to be there, mm-hmm. there was no receiving of or greeting of my father. And that right there is like, that's a flag, no home manners. Hmm. I think one of the biggest ones was Fernanda.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, nah, you ain't marrying that woman. I was like, what?
Really?
You know, I thought that was the love of my life.
Yeah, yeah. Shoot, I did too.
how he said it, and I understood it, because it was like, I was picking him up from treatment and Fernanda was in the car. And I told Fernanda, you know, you got to get to the back seat.
Yeah.
Because my dad's going to sit in the front. I'm thinking she understand that I'm going to get my dad, and then I come and I see her in the front seat. So me and my dad looking at her like, yo, what's up? And she's like, oh, you want me to unlock the back door for you?
No.
And my dad was like, yeah, just put me in the car. Put me in the car. Put him in the car. Took the wheelchair, put it in the trunk. I get to the house. I've never seen my dad get out of the car so fast. I was like, I thought he was going to take the wheelchair. He got out of the car, slammed the door, took his cane, boom, 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 walk all the way to the door. And I said, I think it's best you stay in the car. I'm going to go see what's good with my dad.
Wow.
And I get in there. My dad, my mom was like, what happened? I was like, Fernando, they moved to the back seat. She's like, oh, he's upset. And he just went, slammed his room door and everything like that. I come back and then my dad is just like, listen, man, you know, I'm pretty sure you told her. And she didn't have the decency to move.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a, that says a lot. You know, it's like you got to be mindful of the woman's level, the way they, what they show you.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it. You know, mm-hmm. believe that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, respect is a big thing. If a woman can't respect you, you know, how do you invest further in that? You know, and it made me look at my own self,
mm-hmm.
my own relationship within my marriage. You know, discussing the factor, because that's something I want to teach my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to respect, you know, your significant other, or respect, period.
Yeah.
To other people too. And so that's one thing I learned from my dad, is the respect factor. And but I learned all these things, I realized all these things after he's gone.
You say that was the first time in your relationship with your dad where you started seeing him in a different light, as someone who could actually like instill in you things, and not like you were seeing him before.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And that's what made my grieving even harder.
Mm.
Because I spent most of my life downplaying his impact on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last 2 years, I have all this information, but I don't know how to process it, mm-hmm. because I'm grieving,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I remember like after he passed, you know, my mom made sure everything was good for him to be buried and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was still responsibilities that had to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. She didn't know how she was going to do it. You know, like, it's going to be real tough. And I'm like, yeah. And yes, a lot of people, you know, said, okay, my dad's suffering has stopped. But that's all my mom known for majority of the marriage, you know, was helping him, catering to him. So now all of that stopped. It's like she too had to re-identify herself.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And so there was times where she was just, you know, down about it, and, you know, she'll take his Bible,
mm-hmm.
and she'll read his favorite verse.
Mm-hmm.
And one time she went to go, after he passed, she went to go do that. And she was short some money for the light bill.
Mm-hmm.
And then in his favorite verse is the money, the exact money for the light bill.
Hmm.
You know, she took a kick out of that because she was like, and she said, this is who your dad was.
Wow.
He would always stash things on the side, you know.
Wow.
And put them to the side. And when she needs it, she gets it when she needs it.
Wow.
I was like, dang. I said, that's a real father right there. Because when I needed $5, then I asked my dad, and he don't work. And he was like, yeah. He said, go in my wallet and get the $5. But I see more than $5 in there. I'm like, damn, he has money, yeah. You know, and he's not working. And I need $5 for this field trip. And he still was able to give it to me. So elements like that, I'm just like, wow, okay, you know what? When you unpack it, he was honest.
Yeah.
My dad shot straight. He didn't care how it made you feel.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, when people say the truth hurts,
mm-hmm.
my dad's like, yeah, it hurts, but.
It got to be told.
Imagine if I lied to you.
Yeah.
Right. Imagine if I lied to you. That hurt 10 times worse.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so he'll tell you how he feels. And people did not like to debate with my dad because he was a great debater, you know. And I think that's where my little sister gets it from, because she could kick our butts, me and Jelena. We'd be like, dang, man. said it just like my dad would, you know, like, so at the end of the day, there was value in that. There was something in there that I could take with me, you know. Yeah, he was not the most compassionate person, mm-hmm. but while taking care of him,
yeah,
he's like, you know, son, I really love you and I appreciate you. My dad probably said that a handful of times.
Wow. You know? Wow. And so meaningful for him to have said that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And that's what I miss, because, you know, situations that's happening in my life and stuff like that, I wish I could call and then, like, you know, break it down to
yeah.
him. Like,
yeah.
What's your advice?
Yeah.
Because he was very wise. Yeah. So I learned all of that, or accepted all of that, after my dad passed, you know. I saw him differently.
Yeah.
Those last 2 years shaped, in essence, to me, what a father should be.
Yeah.
You know, a provider, protector, and a counsel for not only your significant other, but your children too.
So now Kai comes in the picture, and the way that she comes in, all that trauma, you are now seeing things in a different way, and you're having all of these aha moments, thinking back to what your dad had implanted in you, and now was making sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. It's like, it's almost like a full circle or a 180. It's like, you know, and when I wrote this letter to my dad, I was like, you would laugh at Kai right now, you know, how much joy she brings in. How witty she is, you know. She reminds me a lot of him, and I don't tell too many people that. It's like she could be a smart, you know what? Kai is very she's headstrong too, you know. And I just feel like, and she doesn't sugarcoat nothing. Even and that's something that I really value with my daughters. I wish I would have done that with my ex-wife. I'm very transparent with my kids. You know, they hold me accountable, and I take that seriously, you know?
Yeah.
That's something that, I feel like, was invested with my father, you know, and, Kashi shows that every day.
So you've alluded several times already that the relationship between you and your ex-wife, even in the past, had been very rocky. And there were times when things got so heated that your little one would have to beg you to step out of that headspace, and she would put herself in the middle, so to speak, so that you can focus your attention on her and not on what was going on. Right. So what has that relationship been like in terms of how you manage to still be in your daughter's lives?
The reality of it is, one thing I've learned through this whole divorce process is the court is only there to make ruling if two adults can't come to
an understanding,
an amicable understanding. And, I pride myself on being somebody who doesn't react emotionally. I observe, I listen, and then I respond, you know, and it might take me a day or two. And I wish I would have done that more in my relationship, because I feel like that's the only person that can get me to react emotionally is her, my ex-wife. Because her words, and my sister used to say this to me, my youngest, Becky, she says, you know, you've been with her 10 plus years. There's a level of what she know that a lot of people don't know.
Facts.
You know, and I didn't understand that. I was like, I said, Beck, you know, what are you talking about? But it's not until I did some therapy and I understood my part in it. And the thing for me was, she knows so much, and she knows what to do to trigger me. You know, and the thing is, she masks herself very well. Like, you know, she'll throw grenades. So she's like, I'm not going to injure you. I'm going for the kill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the sense of, oh, you're a deadbeat dad. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not words I want to hear because mm-hmm. I know I'm not a deadbeat dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm effective with my children. I'm in my children's life.
Mm-hmm.
So how am I going to be a deadbeat dad? I don't even answer that. I just take it in and run with it and, mm-hmm. And it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So I in turn react emotionally, which I give all the power to her. So in doing that, it affects my relationship or my interaction with my daughters because there's no significant boundary or guard to just keep it in the frame of, I'm here for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to see my kids. I'm here to engage my kids. You and I don't have any reason to communicate.
Other than the kids.
Than the kids.
Yeah.
And she'll manipulate the situation and don't even know it in the sense that she knows there's still feelings that I have. So she manipulates that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I really have a hard time is when somebody knows how to manipulate and they ask, how can I help to not continue to hurt you? And I'm like, you know, good and well what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perfect example. She moved from Tennessee to here, and that's a blessing. And what I mean here, Florida, that's a blessing for me.
Mm-hmm. You know,
'cause I get to see my girls more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to hop a flight and spend excess of money. They're literally 15 minutes down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But what comes with that is I'm such a nurturer and my kids know it. And it's like, I can't just pick them up, wait for them down at the stairs and they walk down. Nope, I have to go upstairs and brush Kai teeth, you know, help her put on her shoes and walk them down. And then when I'm dropping them off, walk them upstairs. I'm carrying Kai back, put Kai back down. And then, of course, Kai's like, I don't want you to go. You got to stay. I'm like, no, baby, it don't work that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and for her, she was like, so if I say, you know, I have something I have to tend to, Kai, you know, and I'll see you tomorrow. And she said, oh, let that be the reason.
Hmm.
You know, in that sense, like, oh, so you think it's healthy that we're divorced and I'm going to be spending, I have my own place that I pay rent, you know. I need to be there,
mm-hmm.
not at your place, mm-hmm. you know. And so it confuses the children at times.
Sure.
It's like, okay, dad has his own place, but most of his time is being spent here.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a real conversation I had to have with my daughter, Jaleesa, because Kai don't understand yet, you know. And I said, at the end of the day, baby, you know.
Wait, hold on. I don't know if I would say that about Kai, bro. I mean, you just described a young lady who, in her own, what, she's six, right?
She will be six.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, she already sounds like a child who has a lot of intuition. She might not be able to express herself in the way that Jaleesa can express herself. And maybe her thoughts aren't as, or might not be as well formulated as her older sister, but I wouldn't say that she doesn't understand yet. I mean, if she's able to ask you to focus on her when you and her mom are going at it in the past, that gives me the impression of a little one who knows exactly what's going on.
That's someone where I could sit down and say, listen, dad, I don't live here.
Yeah, for sure.
So in essence, you're right. Because in essence, I guess I was looking at it the wrong way. She just has me wrapped around her fingers. You know? Because when she says, you know, I want you to stay. And she know I'm going to eventually leave.
Yeah.
Even if she's asking.
Yeah.
She knows that. And then when I leave, I love you, dad. I'll see you later. And I was like, love you too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're right about that. I got to stop, in essence, trying to protect her in that sense of the reality.
She's very well aware of it.
Yeah, I wish Jaleesa would speak to her on a level more so.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Because I'll be honest, when it comes to this whole divorce and separation, Jaleesa understands, but she internalizes it.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't really speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I try to talk to her about it, she's very short with me,
mm-hmm.
you know? Whereas Kai, we could play with dolls and then she's reacting everything. She's expressing herself in that nature,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I realized how important it is for me to be in my children's life, especially when they were apart, when they were in Tennessee and I was here in Florida. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I'm not going to miss a date. I'm not going to miss my time or anything, because at the end of the day, that's going to speak volume, because the way she reenacts things, I was like, wow, she's, you know, and that's, I try to tell the mom that, you know, be careful who you talk to on the phone around the kids, because you may think they're not listening.
Oh, dude. Come on, man. We were kids once, bro. Listen.
Yeah.
Adults having conversations, we're playing, but we're capturing everything.
Everything.
Jaleesa is a preteen.
Right.
And it takes a while. She's at the phase now where getting anything out of her might be a little challenging, particularly those really impactful thing. Like you said, the reality that you and her mom are not together, and right. all of the tumultuous history that she's aware of, that's been building for some time. So right. she's been shaped in some way and she's been affected in some way by it. So those things are going to be hard for her to just openly talk about for the time being. But yeah, your little one, she doesn't have that filter yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She doesn't have that filter yet. So she's just going to give it to you straight. And if playing dolls and stuff like that can help her reenact and express what it means to not have daddy there constantly and what have you. I mean, you can tell that it has affected both girls in their distinct ways. When you look at that, though, how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel like some of the things that your ex-wife has thrown your way, like you're a deadbeat? Like how do you respond to that?
Well, I think the best advice that I've gotten in those specific situations is from my younger sister. You know, she said, "You know who you are."
Mm.
You know, and what she calls you is just, she's trying to jug at you. She's trying to nitpick at you, you know, because history has shown itself. You know, I've spoken to a lot of women,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, one in specific, she was married to her husband for some time. And, you know, she dealt with infidelity,
mm-hmm.
him bringing another child while in the marriage. Something she always told me, she said, "You're going to have to learn to break your daughter's heart sometime to sustain their love long term."
Mm.
You know, and I was like, "What do you mean by that?" She said, you're too available, you know, which makes your ex not understand what it really means to be a single parent.
Mm.
She may think she's single parent, and, you know, that's something that my daughter masked too. You know, she has her little moments,
mm-hmm.
when she shares clarity. And she says, "At times I feel as if my mother wants people to believe that she's working. I mean, she's doing everything solo by herself. Like she doesn't need help."
This is Jaleesa telling you this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But she said, "The reality is that she needs help." You know, and I was like, I've never really, you know, dive into that with her. When she expressed that, I was like, yeah, we all need help. You know, parenting is supposed to be, if we're talking, you know, right, it's supposed to be a tandem,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got it. You got it.
Yeah.
You know, we work off of each other, and that's one thing that when I say how it affects me is because as somebody supposedly who knows me and you could lash out at me like that. So you mean to tell me the whole time we've had our daughters or we've been married or we were just dating, I've never supported you and my kids, protected you and my kids, provided, you know, so for you to open your mouth and call me a deadbeat. What does that say back to like what I was saying my dad said?
Yeah.
Respect. You don't even respect me enough, let alone love me. We'll be right back.